On today's show, I have just returned from a trip to Walt Disney World, and then we'll discuss some of the news that's happened over this time period as well. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 513 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by the most faithful of the co-hosts. That would be Adam.
That'll be me. What's up, everybody?
I mean, I'm doing fine, Adam. I'm back on the show. It's been a couple of weeks.
You took a couple of weeks off.
Yeah, a couple of weeks hiatus. Trips. But I did have a trip in that time period as well. Having a couple of personal issues is as deep as I want to go at the moment. Hopefully I will be doing this regularly once again. We shall see.
Right. So, well, it's good to have you. Eager to talk about the trip and some of the news. There's been some couple of news things come out.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't have a time to talk about something that happened while I was on my trip, actually. I didn't realize until we got back. You know what I'm talking about? Was the guy that committed suicide, apparently.
Oh, at the contemporary.
That literally happened like, what was it, Sunday night? Or was it Monday?
Yeah.
I found out about it after we got back.
Right.
Yeah. That happened while I was there, apparently, and didn't know it.
And, you know, there was a lot of different misinformation out there about that. A lot of rumors said, but unfortunately, someone did. So that's not a...
No, not a happy thing.
A fun thing. But
it was just odd that it happened literally while we were there, apparently. Because it was like maybe it was the night before the day we left. Maybe it was Monday night, was it? I can't remember. But the thing that was weird to me about that was, it was not long after I had actually ridden the monorail through the Contemporary.
Contemporary. But,
yeah.
I think Jason was also staying at Bay Lake Tower.
Before
that.
Exactly.
It's all to see, but hopefully we'll hear from his trip as well. Your trips overlapped.
Yeah, for the first time forever. I mean, there was one time and there was forever. One planned. First time in forever.
For the first time and forever.
He was there a little bit earlier than I was, but left the same day, I think. Right, so.
Yeah, I think you guys left on the same day, yeah. But anyway, yes, not to make light of the fact that someone unalived themselves.
Unalived themselves.
But I guess it makes sense to some degree that people would choose Disney. Like a lot of people, like illegally, don't, I'm not condoning people doing this, but sprinkle people's ashes around Disney World more than just the one that you're thinking of. But it happens more often than you'd think. So,
yeah, I'm sure it does. I guess,
you know,
sure it happens a lot of places more often than you would think.
Yeah. One of the things we didn't get to talk about that I just thought of was Frozen at Epcot is going to get basically non-weird projection face animatronics.
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you have seen, is it from Japan, right? I think.
I think it's Hong Kong, right?
Maybe it was Hong Kong that they added it to most recently.
Yeah.
That ride was kind of a clone of... Well, I mean, basically was a clone of Frozen Ever After, but there were some certain things that you could tell it was different. Like, for instance, the drop is like the opposite side. What I mean by that is, you know, in Norway, how when you back down,
right,
you go from left to right and then go down. Right. And over there, you went from right to left and then go down. And I feel like the way that they... Partially because they were not using an existing building, they were able to make that one a little more ideal. You see where I'm going with this? Like the final room, you didn't have to, you know, change it from something that was existing. They could take it and make it what they wanted, pretty much. I feel like that final scenes, but the non-projection faces too, I don't know what you want to call that.
Yeah, like actual animatronics versus
I guess
blank faces.
But I mean, it was something more advanced though, right? I mean, it was different.
Yeah. They just looked better. Like the skin right. tone matched like the face versus the rest of their body's skin tone didn't match. You know?
Yeah. And I guess it's along the lines of, say, for instance, the Beauty and the Beast attraction. And what was that? Was that one China or was that one Hong Kong?
The Beauty and the Beast thing's at Tokyo. The
Tokyo,
one that's so
yeah, that's right,
amazing.
Tokyo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one that's so
that
good.
That one's incredible. Yeah. But this update is going to take place sometime next year, which to me sounds like Frozen's going to be down for quite a while in 2026.
That would make you think so.
This shouldn't be a quick thing to replace the animatronics like that, I wouldn't think. But maybe it won't be that bad because I don't know if they're going to fix the existing ones or just replace them all together. And you could just like pop them out and put a new one in. I don't know.
Good question. I don't know. Maybe they just replaced the head.
Right. Possibly. Possibly. It doesn't really say. It just says sometime next year it will happen. So.
Yeah. And I feel like some of those scenes when I compared the two, like I feel like they had more space with the one too. I think again they weren't limited to using an existing building and an existing attraction. I think they had more right. space in between certain things.
Reminds me, we talked a little bit about this in the last episode. Jason and I talked comparing some of the Disneyland versus Disney World attractions. I think they improved on Runaway Railway at Disneyland.
The queue for sure.
Yeah, the queue has much more like references to all kinds of Mickey cartoons. I think it looks better. The ride though, like once you get to Daisy's dance studio, you go out the other way. You don't go out the same way. On the left, you go out the right, and then there's like the covered bridge that from the last scene to like the sort of ending finale with Mickey and Pluto and Minnie having the picnic or whatever. It's that scene plays out better. It's timed better too. I think they figured out how to do that better there. Yeah, I think it's slightly better at Disneyland than Disney World, but
yeah, I mean, I could see that. Like I said, the queue alone.
I don't hate the queue.
Yeah, but no. But well, there's not much of one. I mean, it's right. Basically,
mostly just posters on the wall. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's there again. You're having to use it something that already exists. The majority of the queue is outdoors. If it has any kind of a line whatsoever, right? So, because the rest of it is no different, except for the decor. Some of it, obviously, it's no different than it was when it was Great Movie Ride. Except until you get to the theater part, you don't walk near as right. far
yeah.
before you get to a pre-show room.
The El Capitan theater looks better at Disneyland, but anyway, what else were we talking about?
Well, you started this by talking about the ones that were changing.
Oh yeah,
was Frozen
right.
Something that just got announced, I guess we can go there, right?
Sure.
That was changing is for the what will this be? The
250?
250. What do you call that?
Yeah, I don't know.
The
half of a 500 year,
a quarter of a thousand years.
Yeah.
The 250th anniversary of this country. They're going to have an overlay of Soarin' called Soarin' Across America, right? Or Soarin'. Yeah, I think it's Across America is the way they put it.
Yeah, across, yeah.
And of course, the jokes came out immediately almost. So,
right, of course, yeah. Some good ones too, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the one about the space needle looking crooked. Whatever,
right.
If we get to that.
Patrick Warburton.
He has a mustache now, and he's a little thinner.
He definitely looks a little older, but.
But he still sounds the same, so you won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, nice his voice. So, yeah, exactly. His voice is great. So, what I'm curious what's going to end up on this. I assume it's going to be like the Grand Canyon and all these like this arch in St. Louis or something, like different things that are widely known, like New York City, probably. I don't know. things like that, right?
I can't remember exactly, but somebody, of course, did a joke video of that. Like, they showed the beginning of Soren, and of course, you know, it starts with the clouds. And then it went to one that said, like, hell is real on a sign. And then it went over Bucky's. And then it went and showed, like, the Hatfields and the McCoys and Pigeon Forge.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. I saw one where it was, like, a drone shot of going into a Home Depot or whatever, stuff like that. Yeah. So, lots of people having fun with this, but...
Yeah, so what it would actually be like.
This is going to put a date on how old I am and stuff, but it actually made me think of, you know, cruising USA and then cruising world. Like, I feel like we're the video games. Cruising USA was first.
Right.
But it's like, oh,
did they cruising world? They never did another cruising.
I think they did cruising Exotica or something.
I don't know what that would be.
I think that's what it was. But I don't know. I'm curious where they're going to end up, what sites they're going to pick, and are they already filming these?
The only thing left after this will be Soaring Universe. They're going to soar into the...
Different planets.
Yes. Different galaxies. Right. But we don't know what they look like. We'll just have to guess it.
What are we going to smell like?
In America?
If you're flying over New York City, are you going to smell like the garbage on the streets or whatever? What are you going to smell if you go over Vegas? I don't know. That'd be kind of cool if you did in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm sure that they might would, as far as sites that they would include, it might actually be the Space Needle. Might be one of them. The St. Louis Arch, you would think, would be something like that. I wonder if they're going to take something like the most famous landmarks from each state, perhaps. Something along those lines.
If you did like all 50, that'd be kind of hard to do all 50.
To fit in? Obviously, the Statue of Liberty's got to be involved.
Yeah, I would think New York City and the Statue of Liberty, yeah, would definitely be in there.
I mean, what are other ones? We'd name the Space Needle.
What would they fly? I said the Arch earlier, like St. Louis, probably.
What would they do in Texas? An oil rig, maybe?
I don't know.
Oil rigs are...
There's plenty of cities there. You could just do like cowboys like herding cattle or something. You never know. Might be interesting.
Okay, herding, not hurting, right?
Yes, not hurting, herding.
That's what it sounded like you said, cowboys herding cattle.
Like
wait a minute, what?
Herd.
Let's see.
Grand Canyon would be cool.
Oh, yeah, that would have to be involved. Are they going to go over Disneyland?
Maybe. Well, I imagine the one in Disneyland is going to end the same way, like over Disneyland. Epcot will do the same. The ending will probably be about the same, I think, right?
Quite possibly.
Most likely.
But yeah, those type of things. So.
Yeah. The Midway, you could just go over some cornfields in like Iowa. I don't know. The cornfields, Ted. The cornfields.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, maybe. Field of Dreams. I mean, they already did the Golden Gate Bridge in Soarin' Over California, but do you do it again for...
They might include it because they already had the footage.
Gosh.
Just throw the clip in.
Although, I feel like they need to update that. It was pretty grainy on the...
It got to that point.
Over California.
Yeah, I was actually on C. Like, everything was curved.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I think I haven't been in the middle... But like once in the last like 5 times. So
yeah. I just noticed like even the pyramids are curved.
Yeah. And then like the hot air balloons, I think, right? Are a little bit curved and stuff like that. Yeah.
Everything is curvy.
So maybe they'll address that too. Like whatever they choose, they probably won't choose a space needle for that reason.
The weird thing is, I don't remember that being a problem with the original one. Like nothing really looked like it was bent.
Yeah. I don't think they really had anything that was a structure like that in the California one, right? I don't remember.
Well, I mean, I don't. The thing is, like none of that stuff, like it was, had a slant or whatever to it, no matter what you looked at. Maybe that's just me.
They say it's only going to be a temporary thing for like the 250th, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Of America. But I think if it's good enough, like just why, keep it. Why not? Yeah, keep it for a while. I mean, you could rotate.
Yeah, like to keep bringing California back occasionally.
Yeah. Maybe they could do it like Guardians, where you never know which one you're going to get. You could get California, World, or...
So it's like a box of chocolates?
United States. I mean, that'd be cool if it was random to me. It'd be a lot of rewritability. Anyway.
All right.
Well, the other one is that Ratatouille is going to drop the 3D.
Oh, yes, that's right, which I think is overdue, quite frankly. Because isn't the one in France not 3D?
I actually don't remember. I feel like it was when I did it. I think it was.
I think it might not be.
I don't know. I feel like when I did it, it was, but now I don't really remember. But it just says it'll close next month for a few days, and it said it'll return with enhanced digital videos and clear imagery projected in 2D. Roomie fans will spot new props and lighting enhancements and when they're added to the queue in attraction over the next few months.
There it is.
Only other news things to mention, I think, are that construction, like Tom Sawyer Island, is like completely demolished now, everything. So that poor sleeping guy in the fort had to wake up before he got out of there. He took a nap in 1971, and he woke up to machines knocking down his port. Yeah, I guess that's it, basically.
There you go. So, why don't we talk about what I did just a little bit?
You were trying to do, like, trip on a budget. That's what you talked about before.
Something like that, yes.
Budget-friendly to see how you could do it.
So I'll tell you that we stayed at an Airbnb. This is the third such time we've done this, actually. And I've found one that's a home. I would say, as far as if you're doing Disney, and probably even Universal, but Universal, you might could find one, something a little closer to them if you're doing that. But I would say the area in Four Corners, basically, is what it's called, Florida, which is basically just on the other side of 192, is one of the best areas. I mean, we've now had all three places that we've stayed has been in that general area. As a matter of fact, this one where we stayed, I noticed the neighborhood. It was actually in the neighborhood. It was called Indian Creek, but it was not far from the one that we did before. And they're all in a reasonable proximity to the Walmart Supercenter there if you need to get things. I think the longest that it took to get to any of the parks was 16 minutes, I think, with GPS to Magic Kingdom. The others were 2 or 3 minutes shorter than that, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're wasting a ton of time getting in your drive. This was for 4 nights total, checking in on a Friday, October 10th, and checked out on Tuesday morning, October the 14th, for a house that had 3 bedrooms total, a master, and then the other three, one of them had, I wouldn't exactly call it a queen, maybe a full. It was in a Star Wars themed room. This was the first one I've done that had all this theming, really. They had a Harry Potter themed room, which is the one Maddie stayed in, and Olivia decided to stay in the Star Wars one on her own. There's a Mickey themed room, and the bathroom in between the Mickey and the Harry Potter one was themed to Mario, actually. Had the Mario theme in the bathroom.
I see.
That's another thing that's always nice about doing this, is you have your own pool. And the total on that was $987 for the 4 nights.
Yeah.
And you get your own house and your own pool.
Right.
You know, you get all the space you want. There was a game room. That's basically what the garage gets turned into in these places, which in this place also had the washer and dryer in this particular home. You had a pool table, an air hockey table, and a foosball table if you wanted to do that. And it had some theming in there of
foosball.
The Mandalorian and Frozen, some places, some more Harry Potter, things like that. Some of the theming in the house had How to Train Your Dragon in there at some point, you know. Had some games if you wanted to play. I mean, just stuff.
I guess one disadvantage of staying off property for Disney is the booking for lighting lanes, windows shorter and things. Did you have any experience there that was not as good, or?
Well, I didn't really look for that many, to be quite honest. And the 3 day out, obviously, especially this was a little busier holiday weekend. you're not going to find as much. And as a matter of fact, I only did ahead of time 2 days. And one of them, I actually thought about going to Animal Kingdom at part of the day, but I ended up dropping all that and just doing Hollywood Studios. So I even changed them before I got there anyway. I did, just from looking though, I mean, I didn't think it was really that big of a deal. I managed to get the attractions that I was looking for the most part. I didn't have a Slinky ahead of time, but I did get the drop. It's funny, I actually got the drop while I was in line for Slinky. So we actually waited in line to do Slinky, so we ended up doing it twice.
Well, but it's not a bad idea.
If
it's not too bad of a wait.
I did manage to get some things lined up there pretty good through Lightning Lane, but what I had for when we first got there was I had a tower first, and then it was followed up by a Rockin'. But we had enough time in between Rockin's window that when we went over there, we decided to see the Villain Show first, which I thought that was good. You've already seen it too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show.
I liked it. Mm-hmm.
And so we did that in between and getting in. Of course, our window for Rockin' was ready at that point. And that was the first and last time the kids have been able to do that. So even got my personal favorite track for the last ride, so that worked out well. Got Sweet Emotion.
That's a fitting farewell then.
Fitting farewell to it. It's still like one of the smoothest launch coasters out there, even as old as it is. And of course it's still going to be around, just rethemed. Tower was great experience. That was the first time that I think Maddie had done it. Livy had done it before.
Did they like both?
Yeah.
Did they have a preference?
No, I think they like both of them, actually. Yeah, I don't think they had any, like, a preference. One thing we didn't do at Studios this time, though, was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. We just never kind of got to that one at the right time. Couldn't get the drop, nor was the line ideal, I guess you could say. So, but the only one we really waited a while for there, because, again, we thought it was going to be shorter than advertised. But one, there was a kink in that, I'll be honest, and that it did have a time period where they had to pause it all momentarily. I don't know what the reason was, but they sent like two or three trains through with no people on it at Slinky. But it didn't last. The stoppage didn't last that long.
Maybe someone dropped their sunglasses on the track.
Someone? Well, you weren't there, so.
Yes. Maybe someone else. Oops.
But we did end up getting two rides on Slinkies that way. So I got a drop for Toy Story Mania. So we did that. Did Smuggler's Run with a Lightning Lane that was supposedly, it was past the window, by the way. Well past the window, but the guy tried to say something about it. He said we had the wrong one, but I think he was looking at the fact that we had a Slinky one in the same similar time frame. And then he was like, never mind. So like it turned green. He's like, yeah, go ahead. I was like,
right.
Thanks, dude. It already led me through. So,
yeah. A lot of times you can use it well after expiration.
Oh, yeah. So, that one was well after expiration, and so was Slinky, actually, when it was all said and done. So, because I managed, somewhere in between there, I managed to get one for Saucers, I think. Or did we actually just walk the line when it was short? We did Star Tours that day, too. The only thing we really didn't do at Hollywood Studios was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And, you know, I have a tendency over there, food options wise, some of them I would rather do, but sometimes you got to be safe when you have kids. So Backlot Express it was that we did. So
standard fare kind of stuff.
Yeah. Saw Fantasmic for the first time in a long time. And I was actually, you know, I've always been one of those that said I didn't think it was necessarily worth the time period that you have to wait sometimes. Of course, I didn't have to wait for anything. We just walked straight in there pretty much and still got good seats. We're actually on the, like, second row or something, somewhat near the middle, the, like, middle right.
Is there a splash zone at all if you're that close?
Technically, that is kind of a splash zone. There's no warning that I know of. I was like, we're not going to get wet. But apparently, you know, if you, with that spraying and if the wind hits the right direction, then yes, you will get wet.
You could. That's what I wonder, yeah.
That's the first time I had done that. But it was still a neat experience. And I had not seen it since they made the adjustments. You know, they had added some of the new stuff and took some of the older stuff out. Last time I did it, they still had the dig and dig and dig.
Right, dig. Yeah. Wow. So what did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it, actually. I mean, that's one that I would probably see again. So
that's not how you talked before.
No.
About Fantasmic.
No, like I said, I've always been one of those that said it wasn't worth what you had to do, really, to get there. As far as...
Especially how far you have to walk to get there.
Yeah, it's quite a haul. Yeah, that was an enjoyable show, and it was really, you know... Part of what kind of got to me a little bit was the kids enjoying it and things like when the boat went by, how they, you know, Stitch was out there and they were waving and all that good stuff. And I was like, it was just one of those moments. But yeah, I think the current version, even though it has some elements of the previous version, obviously, I think it's a better version. I really do.
Yeah. And you did just the regular queue for that? Did you have to show up early? Did you do
We actually showed up, I forgot, it was probably only like a half hour before the show or something like that, and just walked in. And I feel like the people who do dining packages, even though they get a guaranteed seat, they kind of get screwed because they like get a side view.
Yeah, it's kind of near the back too, right? Usually.
Yeah.
The ones I've done the dining thing, and it's usually kind of in the back, but I don't mind that.
Yeah. But this was... Maybe it was because it was a performance that wasn't packed or something. Maybe I don't know, but we didn't have to get in line early or anything. We just walked to the mayor. There was plenty of people that had already gone in, and we even ended up getting a row, like I said, near the front. So
cool.
It was just good timing, I guess, with that one. So, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else about that day in particular. That other than meeting up with Jason when we got to, right, like when we first got there. So going to security. So
right.
Yeah. And that was the day where it was a little overcast and occasionally had some mist. Not really anything heavy rain wise, but that did happen. We ended up on somebody's stream, somebody I didn't really know. But I was told about it by several people.
There's so many people out there like with the camera
that stream now
these days.
Yeah
You never know. Chances are any day you'll get on somebody's stream,
right?
Yeah.
So Sunday we did Epcot, and it just so happens whenever I got to our house after Hollywood Studios, I just looked at dining because I was looking for something for Sunday, and a Space 220 was available. And it was around 3:20-ish, I think. And I'd never been there. So I just picked it up. So on Epcot Day, I did have Lightning Lanes in place. We had not done Remy the last couple of times, so I wanted to make sure I held onto that one. So I got it. In order to have one early to go ahead and tap in and then try to look for something else, I had a Living with the Land. That was the first one we did. So, that one actually, at the time period I got in there, it was up to about a 25-30 minute wait, actually. So the Lightning Lane did make that significantly shorter. So after I tapped in, I can't remember what I picked up after that. That's the only things that, and we decided to just do the regular queue for Soarin', which turned out to be not that bad. Did play the Disney Parks play, the game with the trivia in there while doing that, to kind of made the time go by a little bit. That's one of the ones too. We've talked about it before, that the Lightning Lane doesn't really cut off that much time from the regular wait.
Yeah. I mean, depending. Once you get past the merge point, it's the same.
Yeah.
You're still waiting another 10 to 15 minutes.
But we waited in line this time around for a few things, and I just didn't find it to be that bad. So after doing Soarin', what did I have somewhere in there? I think it was during that time period, during one of the drops somewhere in there, because we ended up getting a little bit of food, but maybe it was during there at that time period that I got the drop on Test Track. And so we had a Test Track Lightning Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably not long after that that we had the Lightning Lane for Ratatouille. So we did that and ended up coming back. We didn't do a ton of attractions there that day. We also had the dining. The dining at Space 220 was after Test Track. So we might have done Remy first. I can't remember. It was somewhere in that time frame. Space 220, I think it's really cool how they do this, other than you don't really have a restroom until you get up to the restaurant, and then they have that almost like a queue time period before you get in an elevator.
Right, right.
So, because we discovered this because they needed to go, and I was like, well, surely they'll have one right there at the restaurant. Not until you get upstairs, basically. So, right, well,
all the way to the outer space.
Yeah, excuse me. Not until you get up. When I'm in upstairs, have to leave Earth. To the space station.
Right. Yeah, you have to leave Earth to get to the bathroom. Yeah. So.
It's a very cool environment. It reminds me a lot of, it's like a slightly modified version and a slightly bigger coral reef, really, the way the layout is. Because you mean, and you're looking at space instead of
an aquarium.
Aquarium. Right. Yeah, an aquarium.
Right, right.
Pretty much. The food there, I ordered the salmon dish, and it was done really well. I enjoyed that. I can't remember the appetizer that I got was something to do with, it was something tuna, if I remember right, but they were in like these pods, almost like these crispy kind of like pods. And I had that, but I thought that was really good. Of course, the kids got the kids' plates version, basically, and had their ice cream at the end. It was actually our anniversary, and I had actually told them that it was, and they gave us a dessert at the end.
That's cool.
Lynn was trying to be a little bit adventurous, and she ordered the seared tuna, which was, I don't know why she did that, because she does not like raw meat at all. And basically seared tuna, that's all it is just like it says, seared on the outside. So I ended up eating most of that too, actually. But I thought it was good to me. So all around it was good dishes too.
Was it worth the price tag? Because it's a prefix menu.
Prefix. So, it was an experience that I'm glad I've done. But at the same time, I'm not going to like go out of my way to pick it up again or anything like that. You know, I just want to be able to say that I'd been there and done that experience pretty much. Because the food there, the type of dishes that they have there, it's not stuff that you couldn't get somewhere else.
Right.
To be honest, there's nothing unique about it. So.
I thought the cocktails were a little gimmicky too, which, I mean, they were fine.
Yeah.
But it was just okay. And then food's good, but.
A lot of Disney stuff like that is gimmicks. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying for the experience, really, which is.
Yes. But I'm glad I could say that I did it, pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
It's definitely worth doing. If anybody out there is thinking about it or hasn't done it, I think it's definitely worth doing at least once. Yeah.
The one thing we weren't able to get and didn't do, actually, because I wasn't paying for individual lightning lanes, so we stood in line for Guardians, which that was a pretty long wait. It was like an hour, but at the same time, it didn't feel that bad to me. You know, you get to walk the regular queue. You get to see most of it, really, no matter which way you do it, truthfully. It moved pretty good, considering, you know, because I never feel like, even with these lines that take a long time, it still feels like it at least moves, like you're not doing a ton of standing like you do some places.
Did people like bust through the door on the final pre-show?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people go through there, and of course it's like if you could put the room on a scale, it would be heavily to the right side.
Yeah.
But I actually, because I wasn't interested in being on the right side, we'd already waited anyway. I was actually over there on the left side where it was not that many people. And I actually filmed the show, right?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Even though, what's his name threatened me earlier not to.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'm Terry Crews.
Serious about this. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that effect, though, is still pretty cool. I mean, especially for people, when there are people that don't really pay attention to it, it's like, whoa, you know, when it works.
If it wasn't for the fact that you all have to channel out the same way, but now it's forced everybody to.
Yeah. It did kind of bottleneck that up, though, being in the back. But, you know, after that, it still takes a little while weight-wise, you know. That's why I've always thought with those after-hours events, they should skip some of this stuff and just let you walk through. It would work so much better.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but part of the experience, but I just think it's sometimes that they do this stuff as part of the experience that they've created too many queues or too many pre-shows, basically, by doing that. So
people are too impatient for the... Because the pre-shows are kind of long, too, both of them.
And the first one... like nobody cares. Let's just be honest. Right.
You're just like, all right, Terry Crews, get to the point. Like, yes, yeah. Call us whatever you want. I don't care. Just get to the point.
Now, there is this thing, this trend that seems like lately, whenever he asks about what they call themselves, people shout out things, you know,
yeah, it's like become drunk a trend. Or...
Yeah. Now, the second pre-show is actually engaging, so it doesn't seem that bad. You can actually, you know, it actually has a point to it, basically, and it has comedic timing, you know, from Drax, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And when I look at that now, does it look like he like almost forgot his line? Because the pause seems awfully long. Do you know what I'm talking about? When he says like, wait, it's like a really long pause. Cake? Where is the season? Oh, right. There's cake?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It does seem a little weird. I don't know.
It's like if you go back and watch that pre-show again, it seems like there's an extremely like long pause, like he forgot his line. I never really noticed it the first time, but it seems that way.
There are times, you know, too, where they pause, like they haven't extended, if they're stalling for a few extra seconds, isn't there a lengthier end to the scene, if I'm not mistaken?
In the pre-show?
I think so. Is it the pre-show or I think it's the pre-show.
I don't know. I know there's been times when the launch, like there's been like a long pause between the actual period that ends and the launch, actual launch.
Yeah, they do. They do have that. I've seen that one too, where they talk longer before the launch. Yeah. When the lights go out, but then they'll keep talking.
But I think that only happens as part of a delay, a planned, you know, like if a delay happens.
Right. Yeah. If it's taking longer to load or unload.
We got Disco Inferno this time, but we were, you know, when you walk in, we were right side. So the train that takes the longer path, front row actually as well.
That's
so
cool.
So the launch was in the very back or in the last row.
This is fun.
But yeah, that's still probably the best ride on property, really. Best coaster, gotta be. So
yeah, hard to top it. The door coaster could top it. We'll see.
Yeah. And I mentioned Test Track earlier. I think we'd already done that at this point, actually, but I didn't say anything about the new one. That's my first time on Test Track, as I called it, 3.0. That's a much better experience than 2.0, obviously.
I thought so, too.
I was very impressed with how things were done.
It's got an old Epcot vibe to it, right? Yeah.
Some of it. It's like I said, they mixed it together. So I kind of wish the door worked, but, I mean, having it wide open works okay.
So... Yeah, during cast member previews, right? It hit the door or something, and they just not
one of the cars. They're probably not going to fix it. That's going to be it's the Yeti over there. That's the Test Track version of the Yeti.
It's just going to be open forever.
This one. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh well,
because the only way they're ever going to fix it is if it has to go down for any significant refurbishment, and they just opened it, so that's not happening anytime soon. So they're just going to be leaving it open, I'm sure.
Oh well. But that final scene looks really cool with the projections and everything.
Yes, that very much so. Cool. To me, I don't know if it's just because it's when they redid stuff, the track, like this outside part, actually feels a bit smoother, except for the braking at the end is always going to be the same.
It's like, oh my gosh, whiplash every time.
But I feel like it felt like a really smooth ride, though, like going into the turn and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's because it's not been that long since it's been open, because I feel like in the older ones it had a tendency to get a little rough out there, feel like once it gets some wear on it, it'll probably be rough again.
Probably. I did like that you have like the two hosts now. It felt very classic Epcot, original a little bit.
Been kind of neat if they could actually have, you know, with AI nowadays, used Gary Owens like they did in World of Motion. So
You can recreate almost anything.
Travel the open road.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
That was pretty much the only attractions we did on Epcot Day.
Did you go to La Cava? I didn't hear.
Did not.
Oh, okay.
No. Didn't even set foot in Mexico, actually.
Crazy. Can't believe it.
Unfortunately, the only World Showcase we really did was walking to Ratatouille. That was pretty much the World Showcase experience of this one.
So no food and wine stuff, or did you do any?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, we passed some stuff on the way, but no. Because we had eaten Space 220 before.
Okay.
So. But yeah, Epcot, there was obviously a few attractions that we didn't do. We didn't go to the Seas. We didn't do Journey.
Didn't miss anything.
Yeah, we were basically making sure we did the stuff that the kids wanted to do as far as like thrilling stuff, pretty much. Just make sure those were in. That was the main purpose. Not killing ourselves. Spaceship Earth was down, or else we would have done that too.
Yeah. Which, so, did we mention that in the news? That it is back up now. It opened earlier than expected, and nothing really has changed at all. They did a few improvements, I guess, on some things you don't see, but.
Right. It was basically, like I said, just a refurb.
Which it was only down for, what, a month, if that? It was 3-4 weeks, so yeah.
I thought it was weird, though, that they managed to, like, make it come back up, like, right after a holiday, whenever they, I mean, they couldn't have done it, like, during, when they could have used the capacity to some degree. I don't know how they couldn't have managed to do that, like, a week earlier.
Right.
So Magic Kingdom was the next day, and that was actually a party day, so I anticipated it being slower, so I didn't do Lightning Lanes at all. However, it ended up being a much busier day than, again, I anticipated. When we got there, one of the first things we did, we went to Tomorrowland, and went and rode People Mover. Happened to run into, I think it was Dale, it was Chip or Dale, one of them at that time, and got a picture with him. When we got on People Mover, one of the things we noticed is Space Mountain was down. So I'm like, well, we're going to see the lights on. And we did. Yeah. I mean, I'd done that before, but it was kind of cool for them to see it. You know, they'd never seen that.
That's cool.
And it's not quite the same as it once was, because they have that big wall up now. Before, you used to could see through that plexiglass. You could see everything when it's, you know what I mean? They have
it's harder to see. They've changed the inside,
it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They've changed it. You can see it some. But it's just not like it was back whenever the first time I ever had that experience with the lights on. Didn't end up doing Space this time around. After that was over with, after we did People Mover, we pretty much headed in the direction of Tron and got in line for that. That queue actually moved pretty good. When you're in the outside queue, if you can endure that and get through that part, I mean it's not that long before you get to the the inside where you see the screen,
and
you know.
Lizards.
Yeah.
Do they do anything different for Aries for that room?
I didn't see anything different for that room. Other than whenever the screen comes off, obviously at the launch that you see, it turns red at the launch like it does where you saw the video.
Yeah. Go to YouTube channel.
Yes, go to our YouTube channel and watch that. So, yeah, that it actually, like the main villain of the new movie kind of like tries to take over, right? All through it, he's the one talking instead of the original voice. And at the end, he's like, good work, the grid is now mine. And then all of a sudden, like, he gets kicked out because they said something about like rogue code or something. I can't remember the term that was used, that like deleted. And he was like, no. It sounded almost sounded like Vader.
I heard, right. Yeah. That's what I thought too when I heard it at the end. I was like, oh, Vader.
Sound like Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
But it was kind of cool, you know, that overlay, I think. Definitely, I didn't see it at nighttime, but at nighttime, I'm sure, obviously, with everything in red, it'd be pretty cool. And then, of course, the soundtrack's different. It's got the Nine Inch Nails version.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool change,
It's very weird that I noticed several people that were going to this weekend, right, that were heading into that, the day we were there, too, that ride, that was wearing, like, Nine Inch Nails merch.
Oh,
they were like purposely wearing that to go to Tron.
They were big fans, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. Not of the movie, clearly, because no one's watched the movie. They just like the band.
I actually went and saw Tron Legacy when it was in theaters. I saw it in 3D, actually, at that point in time. It would turn out to be pretty good.
What about Aries? Any wish?
I haven't been to Aries.
You're not the only one.
I mean, it's not that. I think there's a lot of movies suffering that are box office now because nobody wants to go, to be quite honest. They just want to wait until it streams. I think that's become more of a thing than it once did. There was a time period where people were ready to do something like this, and now it's just back to we don't care. That's really what I think's happened.
It's got to be like something really big for people to want to go see it. Yeah, right. It's not.
Yeah. Well, that's why. Traditionally, box office wise, sequels do better, right? Because everybody got a taste of the first one and they want to go see. Yeah. So
even if it's a worse movie,
they end up being a worse movie. People initially go watch it because they like the original.
Right. Exactly.
Like, you know, we were just talking about this the other day, Hocus Pocus. It did not do well in the theater. It just so happens that it was being shown on the Disney Channel at the time period when it went cable. It went from a premium channel to cable. It had more eyes on it, and it became a cult classic enough to make a sequel years later. So
I wonder if that's similar to what happened to Nightmare Before Christmas, because it didn't do as well in the box office either.
Right. It became a cult classic, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things like that.
Beloved, yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes things, well, Moana didn't exactly do good in the box office, but it's well-loved, right? It was one of the top streaming ones when it went over Disney Plus.
And what a difference a year makes, because this, well, maybe it was a little later, but last year, I believe we were talking about hit after hit that Disney had, and this year has not been the case for their movies. Like,
no.
Pixar had a flop.
Yeah, Elio, nobody cared about.
Yeah.
Stitch did well.
Yeah, Stitch did well. That was one of the bright spots. There was a couple. Yeah. There was another movie that did pretty well, but
that was the last movie I went to see in the theater with Stitch.
And may have been the last one I saw too, actually. Mission Impossible, whatever came out. I saw that one. That may have been after Stitch. I don't remember. Anyway.
So back to where we were. Let's see. After we got out of there, we headed in the direction of Fantasyland. No, actually, we ate at, what's the name of it over there again?
Cosmic Rays.
Yes, Cosmic Rays. I don't know why that was escaping me. So we had lunch there and headed in the direction of the teacups, which I did not ride because I've just seemed dizzy. Like I have an issue with spinners. It might have gotten better since I've gotten in better health, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But I didn't chance it.
The older you get, the harder it is. Like I don't like doing teacups either anymore.
Yeah. So I didn't do those. I sat that one out. We walked along. We did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We actually stood in line for that, which wasn't too bad. We were in the very back car, by the way. I actually think that was a fun ride for being in the back car of Mine Train.
I think so. Yeah.
I think I would request it.
Yeah.
Because we were in the very back car, and it felt like it was a funner experience, to be quite honest on that one. Kind of like Thunder. Thunder seems to be better in the back. So,
right. There you go.
So, even though it was down this time.
Right. I can't wait for that to reopen.
Yeah. Almost did mention, but the wait was a little long, so we didn't this time. Thought about doing the Country Bears again, but didn't. Just went straight on to Tiana's, and per usual, like nothing worked.
The animatronics were all hit or miss.
Yes. So up the lift hill, you know, the very first one, she was doing all the motions, but her mouth wasn't moving.
Right. Yeah. That's lately. Yeah, I've noticed that.
The first scene with Lewis was literally frozen. The very first Lewis was frozen.
Wow.
When it came to when they have the second scene, Lewis was working on that one, but when they're standing there with the band, like he and Tiana. So the Tiana one was like just creepily bent over and not moving. On that one. The next Tiana, the one right before you go on the drop, she actually was fully functional. Her lips were moving and everything, and Mama Odie's screen was fine there.
Oh, okay.
But when we got to the lift hill to go up the big lift hill, no Mama Odie screen again. Right. That's like always not there.
It hasn't been working the last few times I've done it either,
And then, of course, the one at the top of the hill, she seems to be fine. And then you take the splash and... That final scene, everything seemed to be, there's so many things to look for there. Everything seemed to be in working order. Except for, of course, at the end, it was like, Juju.
Yeah. Right.
Like, her just nothing. Not just, yeah. Juju moved. Yeah. But it was just her sitting there, it was like, Juju.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the experience. Like, both times I've had the experience of that, there's always something that was like that. Multiple things, unfortunately. I don't know what it is that happens with that attraction, but there's multiple things down all the time. And it's not even that old. It's still only been a little over a year, right? So I don't know what the solution is, to be quite honest. It's not good as far as the full experience after the first couple of rides. It's almost like the Yeti, Curse of the Yetis everywhere.
Right. So. Yeah, it was Rise of the Resistance, doing it in Disneyland, and actually seeing the cannon move. Like, yeah. There is hope.
They figure there's hope. There's a new hope.
Yeah, right. So maybe one day they'll fix it, but...
Yeah. So that was kind of really at the end of the day there. We didn't do anything eventually, and we considered doing pirates on the way out, but the pirate wait had actually gotten up to about 35 minutes. We did Small World, by the way, in between there. I forgot. We did do that because it was short. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the new ending verse of the song?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Cool. And, well, that's the only one they play now. I mean, they just make sure you hear it. Like, yeah. They never play any of the other verses. They just play the new verse, so that's all they ever sing at the end. So,
right. When you get to
I didn't notice that. Yeah. But, yeah, on the way out, we did get some Dole Whips. I got Dole Whips for everybody, so we did that on the way out. And then hit the shops on Main Street. You know, everybody else, of course, was either at the party or what have you. We did the whole take the ferry to Magic Kingdom and took the monorail back, right, to the house. So, and on leaving day, we did a traditional thing. We got a Kona breakfast, a late Kona breakfast.
Do that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I actually decided to go with the Loco Moco this time. I didn't do Tonga Toast, believe it or not.
Mm, I see.
The Loco Moco is kind of like a protein plate, essentially, because you get like some sort of like a hamburger steak almost, and rice, and the two fried eggs, sunny side up eggs is what I got, and stuff like that. I think it had, I had chorizo gravy.
That was a good one. Always good to be there.
I didn't really want to do anything like big sweet, you know, before riding for a while.
Right.
So
the Tonga Toast sits heavy, so
yeah, it can. But overall it was actually a good time. It was a good fun meal there too, you know, and it's always, I still, every time I look at stuff around the Poly, I just think of how it's a shell of its former glory, in my opinion. And even just getting there, like, it just doesn't feel the same, especially with all the construction that's going on in that area. Like, you have to go, like, you have to ride, like, you're going toward the Grand Floridian and take a right, pretty much, versus coming in the old way, you know?
Really,
and we end up having to park. They made us park in the Pago Pago parking lot, actually.
Yeah, I had to do that last time, too, because the construction they're doing, which I hope they'll get that done soon.
Yeah.
I think that entrance?
And they seem to be pretty full over there, believe it or not.
Really?
That was the other thing. Yeah. Parking lot seemed to be pretty full.
Well, because it's smaller now too, because of the construction, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And of course, they've been doing this for a while, but the torches are on like 24/7 out front. Used to only come on in the evenings. That used to be a thing, but I think they've been doing
lighting the torches.
Yeah. It's burning the torches like all the time has become a thing, apparently. So the other thing, when I was, you know, we were talking about the whole budget thing. So I spent just a shade under or right at a grand on a place to stay, right, for all four nights. Yeah. And ticket wise, it was like for park hoppers, I got them through Undercover Tourist because that's the cheapest you can find. And those were a little over, what, 23, I think, for 3-day park hoppers. For two adults, two kids. Yeah. So overall spent, if you count food, which I had a lot of gift cards still and rewards cards type stuff for that, the total cost probably was still under four, I would think, if you include the food.
$4,000, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad at all to do.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays it's not.
Even with the lightning lanes, which you didn't do every day, but.
No, only did 2 days.
Yeah.
I feel like it's still under four when it was all said and done. So it's probably only like about 36, 37 maybe total. Might even be less than that, but.
That's definitely doing it.
That's about the cheapest you can do it nowadays.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably as good as you can get.
Yeah, for a four night. At Walt Disney World, so, which is kind of a sad state in itself, because you used to could do that at then stay at like the Poly.
I know, right?
Not that long ago.
Back in the day, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah,
yeah. Doesn't seem like it anyway. Like
2016,
pretty close.
Yeah,
yeah. So
less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's just
how much has changed.
The times they are changing, I guess. So
yeah, indeed.
But anyway, I got some decent footage with, I had the Insta360 Ace Pro 2 that I used pretty much the most the whole time. I've already got the three videos out. We mentioned Tron. I did test track the 3.0 version. And I went ahead and put Living with the Land because it was one I didn't have to edit very much. It was way, it pretty much was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I do plan on putting the Rockin' Ride out there because I actually used it. It did pretty good. So I'm going to put that one out there too and maybe some other things. I did use Tiana, so I'm probably going to do another Tiana. Yeah. I used it on Tiana.
Can't hurt. That's cool. Yeah, the footage looks really good, so definitely go check it out on our YouTube channel.
Yep. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. I think it wraps up this show. I think it puts a nice tight little bow on it.
Yeah.
So
good to be back.
And I know Jason was there at the same time. We actually, like I said, we only interacted that really one time. We'd discuss because we didn't end up in the same place very much after that, to be quite honest, just because of our plans. But
we'll see if we can get him on back again to
have
talk
him tell
about
his
trip.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. If you would like, you can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we have, as we mentioned earlier, a YouTube channel. And where can you find this and more, Adam?
On our website, which is travelingwiththemountains.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemountains.com. We also have our good neighbor, travel agent friend, Jolly Jolly. His info is also there on our website.
So for Adam, this is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
To the Haunted Mansion. Did you watch the Imagineering story thing about the Haunted Mansion?
I don't think I did.
It came out today, I think. It was meh. It was all right.
I haven't seen it yet.